Good morning, church. So I wanted to do a couple things different than traditional, normal, just to keep y'all on y'all's toes. But as we get started today, first off, would you join me in prayer? God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, God. I pray, just as Billy said earlier, don't let it be me. I know there's a lot of people that would rather hear a lot of people speak than me. They want to hear you. Allow your spirit to speak through me. God, don't let this be my message. Let this be your message. I pray that you will just be in this place. I pray that you will penetrate our hearts with your message. Because, God, this is a message that some of us really need to hear. We thank you and we love you. Amen. So, for the people that hopefully all y'all were reading the lyrics as we played that video, but this is a pretty common place in Christianity. Why does it hurt if you love me? Why does it hurt if you're all I need? Why does it hurt if your light's alive inside of me? Why can't I believe that you mean good for me? So, life's hard. Being a kid or an adult in this world has vast challenges. And things that we'd rather not deal or go up against. But today I wanted to talk about a couple things that you can build a foundation on to not necessarily avoid those instances, but to get through those instances better. Matthew 7, 24 through 27 says, "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds a house on a solid rock. Though the rain comes in torrents and the floodwaters rise and the winds beat against the house, it won't collapse because it's built on bedrock. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish, like a person who builds his house on sand. When the rains and floods come and the wind beats against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash." 1 Corinthians 3, 10 through 15 also speaks to this when it says, "Because of God's grace to me, I have laid the foundation like an expert builder. Now others are building on it. But whoever is building on this foundation must be very careful, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. If anyone who builds on the foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewel, wood, hay, straw, but on judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames." So when we have foundations, we have a framework that can be built upon. We always have a safety net. So if you've gotten to know me at all by now, I'm a very visual person. I love graphics. I love visual aids. I love illustrations. So we're going to do something really fast as an illustration, and hopefully it goes fast. But I have a couple youth that are going to help me out. You see, as you've probably already heard, foundations are important. And so with that, we all know that a foundation is only as good as its footing. So y'all sit down real fast. We have the camera on? Perfect. Okay. It might need to go down in just a little bit. There we go. Okay. So as we all know, foundations are important. Foundations, I mean, you would not have a house today if your house was not built upon a foundation. You would not have pretty much any building in town if the building wasn't made on foundations. But it's more than that. Anything can be built on a foundation. Marriages are built on a foundation. Hopefully your children are raised upon a foundation. And so, move your hands. Lay down all the way. Okay, so everything can be built on a foundation. Hopefully this works. Stay up. I feel there's a little doubt. Y'all are doing good. Logan, last one. Keep your legs locked. Oh, no. Lift up. Whoop. You got to move your leg around a little bit. There you go. Okay. Make sure you're laying down all the way. So would y'all mind helping me help them get them up? Would you mind helping? It kind of takes multiple people. Perfect. Y'all take your chairs and go sit down. So, but like I was saying, foundations can be built, and you have to have foundations in different aspects of your life, whether it be the house you live in, the marriage that you have, the children that you're raising, or your relationship with God. And so as this first song started out, we had, there's a little bit of a doubt. There's this, why does it hurt? Why does it hurt? Why does it hurt? Why can't I believe that you mean good for me? And so when we have this foundation, it can change that. So now the word foundation is defined as the ground on which other parts rest or are overlaid, like the base on which a house is built or the roots of a tree. Jesus speaks very clearly about the importance of foundations when he says in Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who has built a house on the ground without foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great." So without a strong foundation, neither could withstand the storms. And we can't withstand the storms that various seasons bring. Without a strong spiritual foundation, you cannot withstand the storms of life that you might be facing, whether that be financial, emotional, relational. There are a lot of arguments on what these foundations are, and I firmly believe that a foundation really needs four pieces. You have to have four pieces to have a good, sturdy foundation, at least four. You can always have more, but there's a good foundation with four pillars. And so the first of these foundation pieces is loving God and God's love for you. This is the cornerstone of the foundation. We are to love God. Bible says that pretty clearly. Deuteronomy 6:5 says, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and strength." Loving God is the absolute essential and constant piece of the foundation. It is the cornerstone of the foundation, because there is no stopping and there is no moving this piece. There is nothing you can do to make God stop loving you. And I'm going to say that again because I think someone needs to hear that. There is nothing you can do that will make God stop loving you. There is nothing. I don't think we fully comprehend that word sometimes because we always try to add the exceptions. Oh, but this. Nothing. But you don't understand. Nothing. We don't have anything that we can do in our lives that will stop God from loving us. Paul even writes to the Romans when he says this, "What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for all of us, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting on the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity, or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scriptures say, 'For your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered by sheep like sheep.' No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ Jesus who loved us. For I am convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky or on earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord." So this first foundational piece, This is the cornerstone. We cannot do anything to move it. No storm can overtake it. Nothing can happen to this first piece. You have to understand that God loves you, and nothing can take that away. Not even the power of hell. Nothing can separate us. God's love is constant and everlasting, which leads us to our second foundation. Understanding God loves us. I don't know about y'all, but this one's hard. And it might sound a bit confusing, but this is honestly probably the hardest to comprehend and fully give yourself to. Because we all live lives, we all make decisions, and sometimes we do things that we're like, yeah, I know the Bible says that God loves me, but I can't give it. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I have this going on. The thing is, though, God can love us all he wants to, and he will. But we have to accept that God loves us. We have to accept that God would be willing to love us, the bride of Christ, even though Scripture in the Old Testament calls us an adulterous and unfaithful bride. So God knows that we are going to be unfaithful, yet he still loves us enough to die for us. We have to believe that, church. We have to come to the realization that God loves you where you are. You have no destination to get to before God loves you. You have no quota of church attendances. You have no quota of personal times with God before God loves you. The issue is, church, you have to accept it. And that's hard, especially in the world we live in where everybody else is telling you you're not worth it. You can't do that. Why would you be able to do that? Why would he love you? We live in a world that's constantly filled with negativity, but we have to accept the Christ that died for us. One of the major struggles that King Saul dealt with was that he was compulsive. He often acted quickly without consulting God, and I believe that that's largely due to the fact that he never accepted God's love in his heart. This made him very compulsive because he probably felt like he couldn't trust God, therefore he did what he wanted on his timetable. Also, despite the tremendous, tremendous blessings that God bestowed upon Saul, handsome, tall, king of Israel, Saul never trusted God. When David killed Goliath, there was a huge parade, but what about Saul? He became very, very jealous of David because his one victory trumped all of Saul's victories. Jealousy is a huge sin, or a huge sign that you fully haven't accepted God's love. When we're truly content in our relationship with our God, we no longer feel a need to compare ourselves to others. Furthermore, being content in our relationship with God allows us to support and help other believers in their walk with God. We then don't get jealous when they prosper or even succeed when we might not. I know there's a couple pastors in the room, but one of the big stumbling blocks that I had to learn to get over was when God didn't use me and God used someone else. That's a pride thing. But that's toxic. We're comparing ourselves, we're comparing our successes to other people. So when God uses someone else to reach the life of a student, I have to be okay with it. Because I know that God's still working regardless of whether he's using me or whether he's using someone else. So Saul struggled with self-doubt and insecurity, and this particularly showed when he was king. His jealous comparisons with David, his constant lying, and how he often chose his way over God's way suggested a person who was struggling with an internal conflict. Beneath the layers of Saul's glamorous image was someone who had a lack of faith in God. Saul never accepted God's love in his heart, and when you really think about that, you almost feel sad for him. But what does that say for us? God can bless us with the most glorious of riches, but we can still choose not to fully accept his love. Are we there, church? Hopefully not. But odds are, it's likely. He can bless us with the most glorious of riches, but we can still choose not to fully accept God's love in our hearts. The third foundational element is trusting God's plan. This one lines up perfectly into the previous two, but it's another place in our foundations where we're often shaken up. God's plan is perfect. God's plan is bigger than our plan. However, church, I think something that we miss along the way when it comes to trusting God's plan is we often see trust as this blind leap of faith, especially in Christianity. But we overlook something that is so easy to see in front of us. Trust is moving forward in the belief that you're loved. Do you trust anybody that you don't love? No. You might do something that they say, but odds are you're not going to trust that they have your best thoughts and your best well-being in mind. Trust is moving forward in the belief that you're loved. They go in hand in hand with each other. God loves us. We have to understand that God loves us. And if we genuinely begin to understand that God loves us for who we are and we don't have to do anything for that, it's not hard to trust him, church. It's not hard to say, yeah, God, you love me. I know that with all of my being. I can't think of anything else that I want to do other than trust you, because when you trust someone, you believe that they're looking out for what's best for you. And this truth is found all over Scripture. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding." Psalms 56:3-4, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Tell me this, church. If you're a kid in here, do you trust your parents? That can be from little kid to college kid. Y'all are all kids. But do you trust your parents? Of course, most of y'all do. But it's because you can say without a doubt that your parents love you. And unfortunately, if you're in a situation where that's not the case, I'm sorry, it's hard. But foundation still comes into play. What about you, parents? Who do you trust? Your parents? It's one of the things that I learned really quick when I became a parent is, you know, my parents aren't half bad. They make some pretty good decisions. But who do you trust? Do you trust your parents? Do you trust your friends? A boss, maybe? When we fully understand that we are loved, we walk in trust and faith that needs no other proof. We trust because God loves us. End of story. Finally, the last foundational piece is loving others. This last foundational piece coexists in harmony with all the others. But when you build a house, you cannot have three corners of support. It's not going to work well. You have to have that fourth leg of the foundation. Jesus says in Matthew 22:36-40, says, "Teacher," or this is the Pharisees talking to him, says, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replies, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your mind." We've read that in Deuteronomy a little bit ago. "This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." This fourth leg is the second greatest commandment. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And some of you might be saying, well, if that's the second commandment, the second greatest, why is it the fourth leg? But can you genuinely love your neighbors if you don't trust that God's going to provide for you in those awkward situations? Can you genuinely love others without accepting Christ's love for yourself? Can you genuinely do anything, church? Can you go out and speak in love if you don't know what love is? I'm not going to lie, I don't like those conversations. I don't like going up to people and randomly opening up conversations. That's something that I struggle with mightily. And some of y'all are in here are like, he does that for a living. We pay this dude to do that. But I don't like that. It's one of the things that I struggle with. I have the most nervous and awkward tendencies when I come up to someone I don't know and start a conversation. But I do it. They are incredibly awkward sometimes when I'm trying to do them on my own. But when I know that God loves me and God's going to be right by my side when I'm having those tough conversations, I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say or if I'm going to say something wrong. I don't have to worry that I don't have all the answers. I don't have to worry about anything. I take the step because God's with me, and I trust that God's going to follow through with what he's asking me to do. I don't know if anyone in here has had the chance, but I guarantee one of the coolest feelings in the world you will ever experience is when you walk into a situation that God calls you into and you feel like your brain's running on empty. And you're like, how am I going to get through this? I don't know what to say. I don't know what I'm going to do. And then just words start coming out. And you're like, where is this coming from? The Holy Spirit just absolutely takes the conversation over and goes with it. It's really, really cool. And I don't know, for the people that have experienced, I would almost say sometimes it's like an outer body experience. It's like you're sitting there watching yourself and just this like eloquent thought process that you've never heard of before is coming out of your mouth and you're like, okay, thanks God, because that wasn't me. When we understand that God loves us and we trust he has a plan for our interactions in everything we do, conversations get easier. It's not hard to talk to that person that God's calling you to talk to because trusting is there. When you trust God, you trust that he's going to follow through. So, back to the foundation. With this foundation that we have in Jesus, it can be a great thing for us to have. When we have a foundation, we have something that we can fall back on when we are in difficult situations. Hopefully all y'all saw that illustration that happened up there, but I love the visualization of that. It didn't matter whose chair was coming out, they stood firm. Sure, there might have been a couple wobbles and a couple squeals, but they stood firm because they had a support system. They were overlapping. They had that foundation. So when we hit things in our lives and we have that foundation through difficult situations, we can get through them. We don't avoid them, but it helps us get through them. We have something to fall back on. Part of my job is making tough decisions. I walk students through all kinds of dark situations knowing that sometimes I'm going to have to make decisions that the kids don't like. I will have to make decisions or make choices that go against their will. Just like any school teacher or any medical worker, or any police officer, I am a by law reporter. I have to report things. Sometimes that doesn't go well with the kids because they confided in you. They want you to have this secret, and it's like, I can't do this. But the thing is when I make those difficult decisions and I have to make choices that go against their wishes, I have that foundation that's under me that's saying, hey, no, you are doing what you're supposed to do. You are doing right. Keep going. This is what I told you to do. As a parent, I have to make decisions that are difficult and not always loved by my kids. Parents, can y'all agree? Knowing that they might not appreciate them at that time or ever, but I still have to make them. That foundation helps. It doesn't help me from not feeling bad, but that it's a rebound. That foundation catches me when I don't feel like a good parent. As a husband, I have to do my best to be the best husband I can be, knowing that there will be days that I fail miserably. Husbands, I'm sure you can agree. But the thing is that foundation's still there to help. You see, unfortunately, being followers of Jesus doesn't promise us ease of living, and actually promises the opposite. Isaiah 43, 1 through 2 says, "But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, Jacob, he who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." Doesn't sound like a if you walk through problems, does it? No. There's a little line that most Christians don't want to hear in that verse. It's when you pass through waters, when you pass through rivers, when you walk through fire. We don't like hearing those very often. We like that first part. God's redeemed us. It's glorious. He's there for us. Wait, when we walk through those things? I don't want to walk through those things. Some of you have dealt with deep, dark hurts. Some of you have dealt with things that you wish you could take back. Some of you have dealt with things that you wish you could apologize for. Some things that you wish never happened. Some of you are like Saul and struggle with jealousy, compulsiveness, self-doubt, insecurity. However, church, we have a God that can wipe away any tear. We have a God that can mediate any brokenness. We have a God that loves people that think they're unlovable. We have a God that loves us, and we have to believe that. There's a reason that I played that song at the beginning. I don't know if you noticed, but the two choruses, the "Why does it hurt if you love me?" The words change. It goes from "Why does it hurt?" to "Right now it hurts." That's the difference of a foundation, church. You don't ask whys when you have the foundation and trust in God's plan. You say, "Right now this hurts. Right now this situation that I'm in is terrible, but you love me. Right now, this situation is more than I can handle, but you love me. Right now, it hurts, but your light's alive inside of me." So, that's the difference in a foundation. You no longer have that question of why, because God's plan and trusting God's plan, you know that God has you in there for a purpose. Because like we said, when you walk through troubles, not when sometimes you fall in holes along the way that you cannot possibly avoid. I've met too many people in my life that are gung-ho on Jesus until the first storm comes. And Satan comes in and absolutely wrecks them because there's no foundation. See it in students a lot. Because students are in a very delicate phase that I've come to kind of coin. It's not my words, but there's a book that talks about it. They're in this delicate part between first-hand faith and second-hand faith, where they take the faith that they've been raised with, the faith that they've been taught, and they're trying to make it their own. Satan loves to attack right in that little window. But the thing is sometimes secondhand faith travels all the way into your 40s, travels farther. We have to have a foundation, because when we don't have a foundation, man, Satan can do work. Satan can sweep away anything that we've ever built with our relationships with God if we don't have a foundation that can back it. God's love is eternal, and we have to accept that he loves us enough that he died for us. We have to trust his plan is better than anything we could ever come up with on our own. And we have to love his creation, our neighbors. So where's your foundation, church? Do you have the backing of God's love under all the decisions that you make? I'm going to go ahead and ask the worship team to come back up. Foundations, I'm not going to say it's something that's built quickly. Any good foundation is normally built over time. But the thing is once that foundation is there, it doesn't go away. No matter what storms come your way, no matter what you go through, if you genuinely believe that God loves you and you genuinely trust in the plan that he has for your life, it doesn't move, church. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for this day, and God, we thank you for just straight up the privilege and the blessing of your love. It's something that we could never, ever earn. It's something that is too far out of our reach for us to even try. We thank you that you're just so good to us and you want what's best for us, God, even when it's hard for us to believe it. I pray that you will begin to stir this church and this congregation for the people that don't have that foundation, God. If they don't have that foundation, I pray that you will begin to stir in their hearts and that that becomes adamant, that something that they cannot live without in their lives. And God, for the people in this church that do have that foundation, let this be a check yourself moment. Where is your foundation? Is it still where it was? Is it still firmly planted in the belief that Christ loves you enough to die for you? God, we thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you for the freedom that we have in this country to be in this place and worship you. I just pray that you will continue to walk with us and guide us as we try to be better followers of you. We thank you and we love you.